It is a very long passage and a very packed story within it, and there's a lot of things that we won't be able to touch on. So I encourage you to, in your own time, to go through again with the story to see what it is that you can learn from as well. So today we're just going to be focusing more on the role of Jesus as the healer. Let me pray, and then we will look at this. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for your word that reveals to us who you are. We pray today that we'll indeed see you as the healer of our lives, that you've come in to bring us life. I pray this in your son's name. Amen. Now, some of you may know that my dad was in pest control for good 20 years, last 20 years. And so he'll go around to people's houses and spray their gardens, the insides, go into the attics and stuff. Sometimes he'll climb a ladder and go onto the roof and to make sure, there's no broken tiles and stuff that, rats and whatever pigeons are getting in. So on one really hot summer day 3 years ago, while on the job, he blacked out. He was on a ladder, and for a brief moment when he kind of blanked out, he fell off that ladder, which was about a story high. Now, I remember my mum calling me. I wasn't aware of what was happening. She called me and she told me what had happened. She didn't know the extent of the damage. All she told me was that the emergency hospital is waiting for him. The ambulance have taken him and to meet them at Royal North Shore. Now, by the end of the day, they learnt that he had fractured three of his spinal segments. He was to go into immediately surgery and to put pins to kind of hold us, I don't know what they do, like pins into the fractured spine. After the surgery, he was immobile. He was in bed for a good month and a half. And it took him quite a while to regain a bit of his motor function again. Thank God, after a year of rehab, he won't admit it. I mean, he's weaker now. But thank God, his motor function is fully, largely recovered. But still, even though things are okay now, I remember on the drive to Royal North Shore, when we didn't know what the extent of damage was, all we knew was that he couldn't get up. There was a number of things that ran through my mind. Will he be okay? How serious is the damage? Will he be able to walk or to, do things again? How will my mum cope going forward if things were bad? Maybe you felt similar concerns in your life when you were sick, or when someone you loved was sick or was in an accident. When the outcomes of the things that they were going through or you were going through was just so out of your control, you didn't know what the future held for you and them. For them, sitting in the hospital, waiting and waiting and waiting. See, for Mary and Martha, when their brother was sick, laying there in bed, a time where medical knowledge was rudimentary at best and the access to any doctors were very limited. Illnesses were mostly solved by natural remedies or, really dependent on a lot of the individual's physical resilience to get better themselves. For Lazarus, this was so serious that the sisters sent word to Jesus. Because the sisters knew that they were friends of Jesus. They knew Jesus was powerful enough to have done healings in the past. So because of the friendship with him, maybe Jesus will do something to help Lazarus. Mary and Martha believed that Jesus had the power as the Christ, the Son of God, to help them. And when they sent him a message, all they said was, "Lord, the one you love is sick." I mean, imagine, you didn't ask for anything, you didn't demand Jesus come, you even plead with him. Just, "Lord, these are the facts. We trust that you will do something if you will, how you will help him, how you can intervene in this matter." See, Jesus, they knew that Jesus loved his brother. Surely he would do something to help them. Surely whatever he was involved in, the preaching, the healing, whatever he was doing up near the Jordan, he would drop everything and hurry over to Bethany where they were and help save Lazarus. But yet, for some reason, he stayed where he was, just 30 or so k's away. 2 more days. When he received this news that his friend was dying, he waited. This was probably one of the most mind-boggling decisions that we see Jesus do. I mean, why would he wait to save his friend Lazarus? Why wouldn't he just rush to Bethany, you know, despite the heat, and get there and help him? Better yet, we've seen Jesus heal from afar before. I mean, surely he can do it again where he is across the Jordan and just say, you know what, Lazarus, you're fine, get up and, you know, you're healed. We know he can do all these things to the disciples and the messenger that came as they waited and waited over these 2 days. Their wonder would have been, you know, why was Jesus waiting? All these things after the hours is going and Jesus is still doing what he was doing, preaching to the people, caring for those around him. The doubt would have crept into their mind. Doesn't Jesus care about what's happening? I thought they were friends. I thought that Jesus loved these people. Why isn't Jesus intervening right now? See, back in 2013, when I was still working in the corporate life, I had my first bout of skin infection. From head to toe, my skin was inflamed like a red tomato. I'd wake up and my eyes were swollen. I could, you know, it would be like a slit. I could barely see. I would be so exhausted from not sleeping well because I think my body was fighting the infection off. It was so bad at one stage that I just felt this burning sensation all over my body. It was like a fire underneath my skin. See, growing up, there was no issues before with my skin. It was all fine, and I didn't know what was going on. So I'd go to doctor after doctor, dermatologist, immunologist, everyone to see what was wrong. And every one of them would tell me that my eczema was flaring up. It was just, you know, allergies getting bad. And time after time, they would prescribe me prednisone, a steroid to just reduce the inflammation. But that didn't heal the underlying infection. And once I stopped with the prednisone, with the steroids, the infection would flare up again. And there I go, and the whole burning sensation would come again for 9 months to about a year. I would just go through this cycle of getting better and then coming back again. I was asking for so many work from home or sick days from my boss. They were just asking whether I needed to work part-time. See, I know it wasn't a life-threatening disease, but the pain and the tiredness of that time. Believe me, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed that God would just take this struggle away. That I'll just be normal again. That I can just be effective in all the things that I was responsible for again. But as the problem dragged on, the prayers seemed unanswered, I too was asking, where are you, God? Why aren't you doing anything to help? I know, God, that you can do these things to just relieve me of these pain and struggles. Don't you care? Now, eventually, one of the specialists at Westmead identified the infection. Simple antibiotics took away at the inflammation and the burning and was all fixed and, you know, it's manageable. See, when we, on Mary and Martha and yourself, come to Jesus in desperation, pleading for healing, for restoration, for just simple rest, and he doesn't work to our timetable, it's very easy for us to question him. He may even be normal for us to start to doubt about his concerns, whether he's present, whether he's even hearing our prayers. All these things just doesn't make sense to us. We know he loves us. Maybe he doesn't really care. But from this story, we see Jesus. The Jesus we see in the gospel is one that cares deeply for our sufferings. His heart is for those who are in pain. Eventually, when Jesus arrived in Bethany, Mary came out to meet Jesus, and she fell at Jesus' feet and said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping at his feet, he didn't rebuke her, saying, you know, don't you believe me? Don't you believe that I am the Son of God? I can do these things? Why are you crying? He doesn't do that. He doesn't brush her away and say, don't worry, I got this. Like, there's no need to cry. When Jesus saw her weeping, he was deeply moved and his spirit was troubled. So even though Jesus knew that he was going to save Lazarus, that he can bring him back to life. He cared deeply about the very real pain and suffering that Mary was going through. So it troubled Jesus deep within to see someone that he loved and he cared for to be in sorrow and grief. What moved Mary to tears moved Jesus to tears as well. In verse 35, we read in the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Two simple words just gives us the most profound and insights into the personality of Jesus and what he's like. The tears that Jesus shed, I believe, were just, you know, I don't think it was for Lazarus, because he heard the news before and he was fine. He knew Lazarus was dead. I think these tears were shed instead for Mary, because of his compassion for what she was going through, brought him to cry with her, that her pain may be shared and her suffering not alone. See, the absence of Jesus' action does not mean an absence of his concern. So even though Jesus delayed for 2 days before coming to Bethany, even though the disciples, to all those around them, Jesus didn't seem to care about all these things, Jesus felt deeply for his people. See, there may come a time when the world seems to be crumbling down around you. The things that you relied on falls through on you, whether it be your health, the health of someone you love. And when you ask, where is God, and doesn't Jesus care? This story assures you and I that he cares deeply for you and me. Even if the whole world doesn't know or understand what you're going through, Jesus knows exactly what you are going through. When you're in your room crying, hoping and wishing for an answer to your struggles, Jesus feels your agony. The times where you think you're all alone, there's no one to turn to, Jesus is there ready to listen to you. So know that no matter what you may go through or feel, you're not alone. Anytime you can turn to him and find comfort in him. Anytime you can fall at his feet like Mary and Martha did, and he will cry with you. Jesus' heart goes out to those who suffer, to you and I. The Jesus we know does not leave us alone to deal with these things, our hurt and our pain, by ourselves. He's willing to sit in it along with us. And when the time is right, in his timing, he will bring healing. His heart is to bring restoration for those who are broken. See, throughout this story, for Mary and Martha, even the disciples, they didn't fully understand what was going on. They knew glimpses or aspects of Jesus' power and his mission, but they didn't know yet the full picture of what Jesus has come to do and what he was capable of. See, for the disciples, there was an understanding that, you know, he was able to heal people's sickness. When Jesus said that Lazarus was just asleep, they said, well, if he's just asleep, he'll get better. They didn't get it. Jesus bluntly just says, Lazarus is dead. So the disciples had seen Jesus heal many people before. Here they thought probably Jesus is just going to do it again, another incident of miraculous healing. Whether he'll go there or he'll do it from afar, don't know, but he'll just, you know, heal them of sickness. Their faith in him was still incomplete. And Jesus says, for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. See, it almost sounds insensitive to us, like Jesus being glad that Lazarus was sick, that he wasn't there to help them, that he's not there comforting them, he's not saving him at this time. See, even we may not understand how Jesus could be glad, because we struggle to see that there is a greater plan at work in Jesus' mind. See, not only will Jesus heal Lazarus back to life, he will also deal with his disciples. He will heal them of their incomplete beliefs. See, Jesus is glad that he will show them who he really is. That he's not just a physician or a healer of some sort, but he's the actual giver of life. Not only can he heal Lazarus' sickness, he can even heal his death. That they may believe that he's fully and completely God. That he is life itself, that through the healing of Lazarus back to life, he means to heal the disciples to a mature faith. And for Martha, she got to see even more than that. When Jesus finally arrived in Bethany, understandably, Martha was distraught. Understandably, Martha was distraught from the death of the brother. I mean, they said, if only Jesus, if you were there, you know, he would be alive. And Jesus says to comfort her, Lazarus will rise again. And as per the Jewish beliefs at that time, she tells him, I know that God will raise him back again in the last day, when God brings about resurrection of all his people. Like the disciples, Martha knew some of the truths, but not the whole truths. And Jesus just casually slides in this gem, one of the seven I am statements in John. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus is telling Martha, not only is he able to give life, he is life itself. All who repent and believe in him will receive eternal life with him. Not only will Lazarus be raised from the dead, everyone who places their faith in him will be saved from death. See, the raising of Lazarus that they are about to witness is but a taste of the things that they are to see. The things that they are to see, the greater picture of what Jesus himself will do. See, Lazarus was buried in a tomb for 4 days, and Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out. See, after this raising of Lazarus from the dead, bringing him out of this cave, very soon Jesus himself will enter into Jerusalem. Jesus himself will be arrested, falsely accused, beaten and flogged, crucified and killed on the cross. For 3 days, like Lazarus, he was buried in a tomb. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he came back to life and spent time with his disciples, and some 500 people bore witness to him. See, with his victory over death and sin, he now calls us to follow him. He calls out to us as well. He says, come out. And all who believe in him, you and I, if we place our faith in him, will come out of our graves and receive eternal life with him. Jesus the healer. Yes, this story tells us of a great miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus back to life. But through this story, there are greater things at work. The disciples' faiths were healed, seeing for themselves the power of Jesus over death. The biggest news headline in this story is not that Lazarus came back from the dead, but that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The great story is that Jesus is the healer of death itself. Back in high school, in year 10, one Tuesday or Monday, we found out that one of the boys in our year drowned over the weekend. They were playing a game to see who could hold their breath longer in the pool, and he had a heart attack there in the pool. And just like that, 16, his life was over. Or again, fun that they just enjoyed. The school grieved, the grade got the week off. We didn't really have counselors back then. And we all learnt in that year that suffering, sickness, and death was a very real part of life. Didn't matter how old we were, it could come at any time. So there may be times where Jesus heals us, like in Lazarus' story. There may be times where he will wait that 2 days or, you know, whatever time period is for his purposes to be worked out. There may be times that he doesn't heal us or the ones we love. And we may not know why that is the case in this lifetime. We may not know why until we see him in heaven, what his plans were, and how it ultimately brings him glory. But what we do know from this story is that Jesus does care. He cares deeply about you and I, our loved ones, our families and friends, and what they go through. What we know from this story is that if we believe in him, he will heal us from something far more tragic from any sickness, something more dreadful than any disease. He will heal us from death itself. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German Lutheran pastor in the 30s and 40s, during the Nazi times, was arrested for his anti-Nazi work, his direct associations with those who were trying to kill Hitler. And in one of his sermons, before he was eventually killed, 5 months before the war ended, on the wisdom of Solomon's, he said, "Death is hell and night and cold, if it is not transformed by our faith." But that is just what is so marvelous, that we can transform death. See, by faith in Jesus, even death itself can be transformed into life. Even the most hopeless, the most struggling of times that we go through can be transformed into a time of hope and joy and looking forward to a time where he will bring restoration for all eternity. So Jesus, who is the giver of life and the healer of death, whatever you are going through, whatever you may go through in the future, know that he is there with you, that he's dealt with the greatest struggle that we have against sin and death. If we repent and follow him, we will inherit this new life with him as well. If you have any questions, there is a Slido under the hashtag CABCT. It's not on there. CABCT on Slido if you have any questions. If not, you can always message me. My number's on the bulletin. You can just catch me anytime. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we know the realities of sickness, diseases. Death itself is very real and present in our daily lives. No matter how old we are, young or later in age, we see it around us. Maybe close to us, maybe far from us, but Lord, we know that this world is imperfect. Lord, in these darkest of times, when we feel like we don't know where to turn to, when we feel like there's no way out, Lord, we just ask that you make your presence known to us. Through your word, your scripture, through our prayers, through our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, remind us that you are with us each and every day. That in our struggles, our tears, we're never alone. And you are sitting with us in our pain. However long our struggles may be, Lord, keep us hopeful and that you have dealt with the biggest sickness in our life. That even death itself cannot hold us. That you and your victory over sin and death, we too get to participate in. Lord, in these times we ask that you'll help us to fix our eyes on you and what you have achieved. To know that time indeed on this earth is limited, but it's a great, a wonderful and marvelous future that we are looking forward to. A time of new life, a time of rejoicing, and a time of being with you, Lord. We thank you for who you are, that you are indeed able to heal and to give life. Praise in your name. Amen.